Exodus chapter 7. I'm going to share out of here. I thought maybe we'd go back to the Gospel of Luke as we're continuing to go through Luke, but I didn't feel that's where I was supposed to go. So we last week looked at a message called to stand. If you guys remember that message, and we went through that, how important it is for us to stand in the Lord in the midst of all that's going on. But I have a message entitled, and you can see it here, called to battle. Called to battle. It's very important. Now, one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to share a lot of scriptures. Is that okay? I mean, I'm not just a few scriptures, okay? A lot of scriptures. Most of what I will be saying will be bouncing from one scripture to another. Now, if you're one of those kind that like to take notes, don't try to keep up with me, all right? If you get my email address or my phone number, and then I will email out the notes to you if that would make it easier for you. So we'll do that. But there's going to be a lot of scripture concerning this subject. I do, as I said last week, I felt it was the heart of God to spend some time to remind us that we were called to stand. I almost entitled the message last week, Called to Arms. But then as I was thinking over it, I thought, that might not be a good, might not be a good title, you know? So I said, called to stand in that. And I'm not afraid saying called to arms, but I felt it would be better for this message, called to battle. But this morning in my devotions, I was just going through the book of Exodus here, and I got to verse 4 of chapter 7, and it really jumped out at me. It said, but Pharaoh, now we know that Pharaoh is a type, as we look at typology in scripture, he's a type of the enemy, maybe even Lucifer in some way. But Pharaoh will not heed you, God's speaking to Moses, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt. Now, Egypt is also in typology. We know that it's a type of the world. And bring my armies, and then the word after that, and, has been added. So it really reads, and bring my armies, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Now let's go back again and look at this. And the thing that I'm emphasizing is my armies, my armies. And I just looked at that and I was reminded of something that I know. We're part of an army. Amen? We are a part of an army. And so if we're part of an army, that means we have to be trained. That means we have to be equipped and we have to have the weapons. And so we're going to be talking about that, this battle that we're in the midst of, called to battle. You and I are called to battle. The world is getting crazier. We can see that. It is getting, there's no doubt in my mind it's getting crazier. And it's yet going to be crazier, if I can say that. Just this week, certain things were signed into law that eroded our rights, that made abortion what it should not be. Made different things that we see that. I'm against all of that. I'm not against people, for people, but for God in that sense. But we must make a stand. And there is a battle that we are in the midst of. So look at verse 4 again. But Pharaoh, if I can say, allow me to make application. But Satan will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt, on the world, and bring my armies, my people, the God of Israel, the church, let's say there, I have to be careful because it is Israel here, but just an application, out of the land or out of the world by great judgments. According to Revelation, great judgments are coming our way. On Wednesday evening, we start chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, where we begin unfolding the judgments. If you've never been through the book of Revelation, I encourage you to come on Wednesday night or come on online and follow us along in this book. And so there's a lot that is going on within our nation. We talked about that. We're called to make a stand in God, make a strong stand in Him. And then today, we're called into battle. We must be in battle. If we're sitting back thinking that we can hide in a corner, we're mistaken. If we think we want to put our head in the sand, it won't work. It shouldn't work. Because we are the light of this world. Amen? We are. How many believe that? We are the light into this world. It's a dark place. Dark place. People are going to want to put a basket over our light. They're going to want to snuff out the light. They're going to do anything they can. The light they're not going to like at all. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Go with me to 1 Peter now, please. 1 Peter chapter 2, please. As I was thinking about this topic, I was led to this verse as I was going through different verses, and these two verses that we see, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Notice it says, "But you are a chosen generation," that's you and I, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his being God's own special people." Now, anybody have a King James Version here? Okay, there's another word that's used there. Spit it out, yell it out. Peculiar. Did you guys know you're peculiar? Now, peculiar to us now means strange. But back when it was written, the word actually pointed to the fact of being special. So the New King James Version is a better translation of that word. But I love that. Peculiar. It just kind of rolls off your lips and it kind of fits who we are when I look at you guys and you look at me too. It's peculiar. We really are. But you are a chosen generation. That's us. We are a royal priesthood. That's us. A holy nation. That's us. His own special people. That's you and I. Truly. That, here comes the that, gives us some, what we are to do. You may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at that again. That you and I put our names there, may proclaim from their housetops, wherever we can, the praises of him who called, God called us out of darkness, out of this world, out of spiritual darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise the Lord. God is good, is he not? And so with Exodus chapter 7, verse 4 in mind, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 in mind, we're going to continue through here looking at eight principles, eight aspects, however we want to title it, called to battle. Now, if you look on the screen here, I'm going to give you ahead of time where we're going to go. The first thing we're going to do is look at the examples of those engaged in battle. Going to be scriptures. Right after that, I'm going to introduce again this, but then the scriptures. They're going to be scriptures backing up the examples, of those engaged in battle. Number two, God's people are invincible in battle when obedient. Do we believe that? Yep, kind of weak, but we do believe that. I was just hoping for, yeah, Bill, yeah, really. But anyway, that's true. Number three, I'm going to look at, with scriptures, aspects of battle. The aspects of the battle, looking at details in that way. Then number four, we are to stand strong in the battle. Nothing new there, but that's who we are. We're to stand strong, place our feet and stand strong. Number five, our weapons and armor for battle. Now you might think of Ephesians chapter 6, I will refer to that, but there's so many other aspects of the armor that we see revealed to us in scripture. Then number six, God's protection in battle. Does God protect us? I believe so. I believe he calls us into battle. He protects us in battle. He'll take us through battle. And that's part of what we are today as his people to be about. We're in the midst of the battle. God's protection in battle. Number seven, victory in battle. Anybody like that? Yeah. Scripture's backing up that there's victory for us, even in the midst of the warfare, the battle that we're going on. Even as we are in the midst of it, the victory is there. We just have to recognize it and stand it. And lastly, we will close with the rewards for overcomers of battle. So, pretty simple. Amen? Let's go back here. And this is where I'm going to be going through different scriptures. But I wanted to introduce, I found this quote. Didn't have a person who quoted it, but I liked what this person said. It says, speaking of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, it says, "This verse is referring to the fact that believers are a special people because they were chosen from before the foundation of the earth to be God's own possession. Isn't that wonderful? It truly is. Those who are born again are different from the world around them because they are being transformed by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Also, they are different because having been born again by the Spirit of God and believing in Christ for salvation, they have received the right to become children of God. That's the right that we have. While it is true that believers are different, it is the believers standing as the adopted children of God that are joint heirs with Jesus Christ and that are God's own special people that make us special. Today we are special, is what Scripture says there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 there. And so as I said last week, we looked called to stand. Today, called to arms, or called more specifically to battle. There's a woman named Jody, I think her name is Peacott. It says this, she said this, "I would prove to you that being different isn't a death sentence, but a call to battle." I like that. She said this again. "I would prove to you, I would suggest to you that being different isn't a death sentence, but a call to battle, a call to arms." You and I are different. Because we're different, we are called into a battle that's different than what the world is in the midst of. We're battling for souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Amen? This morning I got a call, got a text, and it was a chaplaincy call that was put out for, unfortunately, a homicide of a woman that was pregnant, and she was killed. And so I responded, but I was second in line, and I thought, okay, what's this one going to be? So then Carl, who was first in line, he's a pastor too of a church south of here. And he said, "Bill, I'm on my way to church. I can't respond to this. Can you respond to it?" And I said, "Carl, I can't respond to it. I'm on my way to church too." And so then I said, "Well, I'll call Paul Lang because he's one of the chaplains." And I haven't seen Paul. Paul, are you here? Is he back yet? No. So he's been gone all morning. Where is he? He's in there? Okay. He's in there hiding out. He's supposed to be in here with the word. No, I'm not kidding. No. But I haven't got a chance to see what that was. But sad thing. A mom. Our world is not a kind place. And then a child in her womb, both of them no longer here. So we as Christians today are the light into this world. And the battle is intensifying more and more. That is my desire today, is simply to present a call to arms, a call to battle, a call to march forward for the glory of God. So let's go back to the first one there, examples of those engaged in battle. An example. I'm going to give a few examples. You guys are going to remember them, but since you know Scripture, you know the situations. As I mentioned, a person like Joshua, that's a great place to begin with, because you think of Joshua, you think of him battling, following God, going into the promised land there. In Joshua chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war." We are called to stand for the glory of God, but we're also called to go into battle. Joshua was someone that was called into battle. He was able to take the whole land, as it says there in Joshua chapter 11. Gideon, think about Gideon. In Judges chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Then his companion answered and said, 'This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp.'" Actually, that was the enemy speaking about Gideon, and they overheard that, and Gideon knew that victory would come. But there was a sword of Gideon. We have weapons. Jonathan, the son of, or the the buddy of David, but the son of Saul. It says this, "Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from having, but saving by many or by few.'" Jonathan had to go over. At times we are to stand, as Jehoshaphat in chapter 20. We see that in 2 Chronicles. He just stood and God delivered. Other times he'll position us and he says, "I want you to go over." So that we have to go over, be people of action in that way. Think of David, you know, with the Goliath. "You come to me," David said, "with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." He understood the battle. We're in the same battle, are we not? It's a spiritual battle. And it rages on planet Earth, and we must go forward as God shows us. We have our marching orders. Elisha prayed and said this, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes," speaking of his servant, "that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. God has his forces. We know that according to Scripture. I'd like to see that someday, wouldn't you guys? You know, surround, of course, there's no hills in Indiana, but I don't know, but I'd love to see that. And lastly, Jehoshaphat, that we know in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it said, "So they rose early in the morning, went into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem.'" That actually is a battle cry. "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." You know, it tells us in Romans chapter 8 that we are victorious in the midst of the battle. You and I are today. And I believe God wanted us to understand that we are called to stand in him, but we are called to march forward in battle for his glory. Second thing you'll see on the screen there is God's people are invincible in battle when obedient. And that's us. Psalm 18:29 says, "For by you," speaking of God, "I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall." Victory for us today. Psalm 60, verse 12. "Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread upon our enemies." That's a promise that we can stand upon. Psalm 129:2. "Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me." Again, speaking of warfare that we can be, but God will not allow them ultimately to prevail against his people. And then Proverbs 21:22, it says, "A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold." That's you and I. It tells us in 2 Corinthians that there's strongholds, chapter 10, that can be brought down, actually broken, like you take a pitcher against these brick blocks here, a glass pitcher, and throw it against it. It would be just smattered into hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of pieces. And that's what we today are. We're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, it says in that in Scripture in that way. It says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "And I also shall say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." We have that promise that we can stand against the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So we've covered two things. Examples, we've spoken about that. Scripture's backing that up. Then we talked about God's people are invincible in battle when obedient. We backed up scriptures. You got room for more? All right. Number three, here it comes on the screen, right now. Aspects of battle. There are aspects of battle. The first one is there can be a battle that is outward, but there can be a battle that's inward. And I want to point that out. There's a battle a lot of times before we can go out to be victorious. We must deal with the battle that is inside us, the fear that might be there, the inadequacies we feel or whatever it would be. Those things can limit us And so we see the inward battle in Romans chapter 7, verse 28. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. All that must be brought into control, and we're going into battle, just like a soldier brings things into control. He understands that. It isn't a soldier going facing the enemy. It isn't that there's not fear. Fear is part of it. But I was always told a long time ago, cry out to the Lord and say, when you're afraid, Lord, ask the Lord to put the butterflies that are in your stomach in formation. Somehow it's worked. I don't know how it works, but okay, Lord, I got these butterflies. I feel this way and that way. Bring it into formation, Lord, under the power. So there's an inward battle, and there's also spiritual weapons. That's another aspect of battle that we have. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Invisible foe, at times it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle's not necessarily there, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then another aspect of battle is that we are to enlist. Enlist as soldiers. This charge, Paul said to Timothy, I commit you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. That's you and I. We are to do that. And then we are to fight the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many enemies. So different aspects. And the last one we see is we are to be entirely consecrated. It's demanded in that way. So it says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, but he, that he might please him who enlisted him as soldier. So again, examples of those engaged in battle. We talked about that. Then God's people are invisible in battle when obedient. We follow the Lord and some aspects of the battle. Okay? You got room for a little bit more? Okay? It's getting a little bit weaker. You got room for some more? Yeah. Scriptures. Just scriptures about the battle. That's what I did this week. I just went through and scripture after scripture concerning battle. The fourth thing we're to talk about today, we are to stand strong in the battle. 1 Corinthians 16:13, I love this. It says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be strong, be brave. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave and be strong. So we're to stand strong in the battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said to Timothy, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we're to be strong in faith, steadfast in faith. We're to be strong in the Lord, and we're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what we are to do, is we're in the midst of battle. We're going forward in battle. And then our weapons are an armor for battle. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, Paul said. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. There's an armor in Ephesians. We know that, right? Head of salvation, helmet of salvation. Breastplate of what? Okay. Loins girded with? Truth, feet shod with, okay, the shield of, and then we see that there. But also here we see the armor of light, the light. We are different. There's something about us that is different. People will recognize that. They should recognize that. 2 Corinthians, Paul said this, chapter 6, verse 7, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So all these things about our armor, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, again, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I love Hebrews 4:12. You guys know that verse, right? What's it say? For the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why am I taking so much time to do this? because I believe we're to be reminded again that we are to stand strong in the Lord, but we are called to go into the battle. We're not called to a life of comfort. We're not called to a life of solitude. We're called because there's souls out there, men, women, boys, and girls. You guys with me on that? And we may go to battle on our knees. We may go to battle by going out on the streets. We may go to battle by helping people in some way, but we are to be in the midst of the battle. We are to stand strong in battle. Our weapons, as I mentioned, another one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation there. And then God's protection in battle. I love this one. God, if we're going to go in the battle, it's good for us to consider these scriptures. Psalm 9:3, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your, that's God's presence. Psalm 18:17, he delivered me from my strong enemy, God did, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. Psalm 24:8, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And then Psalm 44:3, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but it was his or your right arm, your right hand, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. That's who we are. That's why we can stand on Romans chapter 8 again, victorious, in the midst of battle. And last in this section, Psalm 124:1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, and then there's a dash. They would not have made it, and we won't make it without the Lord on our side. Amen? Okay, let's review again. Repetition. You guys don't mind? Examples of those who engaged in battle. All kinds of examples. There's examples right here of people that we've gone into battle together. I've watched them go. I watched them be sent by God. I watched you guys go on the other side of these walls, go into the children's ministry, the youth ministry, different places. I've seen Camp India. I've seen all the different ministries. I've seen us reach out into the communities and all that. It's important that we go. Examples, we must be engaged in battle. God's people are invincible. That's true. In battle, when we're obedient to the Lord, we're marching with him. Aspects of battle, we talked about that. We are to stand strong in the battle. It's very important we would do that. Our weapons and armor for battle, God's protection. You got time for two more? Okay, that's a little bit better. I love this one. Victory in the battle. Victory in the battle. Three things here. Over evil spiritual forces, number one. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, he said to his disciples. And in application, I believe that we can stand upon the truth the truths found in that scripture. Over evil spiritual forces and over worldly allurements. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Today, walking by faith in the midst of the battle. And over satanic powers, Revelation 15:2, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing in on the sea of glass, having harps of God. It's going to be a tough thing to have to go through the tribulation. That's why I'm a pre-tribulation rapture person. I don't want to go through that, baby. Whatever happens, we're ready. Amen? We're ready. We're prepared. We're a church of the Word, you know? We're people of the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. As we stand upon it and we study it and we memorize it, we talk with each other about it, then we will be victorious because we are victorious in the midst of the battle. Last, rewards for overcomers of battle. Anybody want to hear this one? Rewards, okay? Number one, and I'm going to go through Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Spiritual food. This is a reward. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I don't know what it is, but I think it's going to be sweet, don't you? I think it's Snicker bars. I really do, Snicker bars. I won't have to worry about gaining weight. Snicker bars. Yeah, but that's what it's going to be, spiritual food. Another reward that we will see for those that overcome, a new name. I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. I don't know what it is, but I pray it's not a Harry Aloysius McGillicuddy. Something simpler than that. But we'll get a new name. How about authority and power? Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nation. He'll give us power to be victorious. Robes of righteousness. I love this one. Revelation 3, 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That's a reward. All we have to do is stand strong. Follow him in the midst of the battle. I've met too many people. Too many people. We're going through, the Bible College has this class that I have called Principles of Ministry. Jordan and I were talking about it. And so I have her homework signed up. Part of the homework is to go back in 2004 or 2006 and go back and listen to these, watch the videos that were there by different pastors of Calvary Chapels, different pastors that were there and talking about ministry, the importance of ministry and basically principles of ministry. So he was saying, okay, he showed them to me and I said, I'm sorry, Jordan, but you can't let the students have that video because that pastor has fallen. Then he showed me again and showed me other things, went through there, and I go, oh, no, I'm sorry, Jordan, you can't use that one either. That's not right. But it's a battle. Where was the accountability? Where were people yielding themselves in the midst of the battle? It's very important. People, I've said this before, people that I ministered with, I walked with, part of the movement that we're part of, they didn't stay strong. We have to stay strong. That's what it is. We'll get these rewards, robes of righteousness, a memorial pillar. This one blows my mind. Revelation 3:12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. I can't wait. I'm not into tattoos, but guess what? Tattoo it, Lord, all over me. Put your name all over me. Amen? Amen. I can't wait for that. That's going to be exciting. Enthronement. Can't believe this one, but it says this in Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Wow. I can't believe that. Undeserving. But he loves us so much. He loves us deeply. And an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. The last scripture. I thought I'd hear somebody say, praise the Lord. No, the last scripture. Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes shall inherit just a few things. What do you think it says? All. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise the Lord. Bear with me again. Look at it. We're called to battle. Examples of those engaged in battle. God's people are invincible in battle when obedient. Aspects of battle. We are to stand strong in battle. Our weapons and armor for battle. God's protection in battle. Victory in battle. Rewards for overcomers that are in the battle. Remember, as Christians, we are called to arms. Remember, today, as Christians, we are called to battle. Remember, today, as Christians, we are called to march forward. Amen? Simple Bible study. Let's stand and let's pray. Lord, I believe that you had a message in the midst of the message. A message for each and every one of us to consider what you would say to us. And might you even today or at this very moment, this week, whatever it would be, would you begin to speak to us even more so concerning that you want us to be about. Lord, we are not called to a life of ease. We're not called just to sit back and watch other people go into the battle. Each and every one of us are called by your Spirit to recognize there's tremendous needs. Tremendous needs. Use us, Lord, to reach out to people. Help us to encourage other Christians that may be weak. Help us to invite people that don't know you to salvation. And so, Lord, we're in the midst of the battle. We thank you for being victorious. We thank you for that call on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.